live from Midtown Manhattan. I like to think it's the heart of New York City. It's Insight on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm your affable, congenial host, Mark Farrell. It's a beautiful day here. Man, World Series fever everywhere, except here, because it doesn't include the Yankees. Of course, no, it doesn't include the Mets, but that's all right. It gives us New Yorkers something to rib the Boston fans about. We got a great show on the way. In just a few minutes, going to meet Corrine and Jack Wilody. They are presenting a horrific case of abuse at an agency in New York City that has multiple facilities, schools, housing, for developmentally disabled adults and maybe some younger students. But the home that we're talking about today is actually connected to their house. And they've witnessed, documented, and recorded horrific acts of violence. Very, very poor language used to communicate with a population where, you know, there should be nothing but grace and goodness and positivity and empathy. Nothing but what I just mentioned. So we're going to get to that, and we have footage on that, and we have a lot of compelling and disturbing conversation about that. But this is what we need to do to make change. Absolutely change. And we love to hear from you. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. You can always email me at mark@markfarrellmotivation.com. mark@markfarrellmotivation.com. So Lyft and Uber are doing a great thing. For Election Day, they're going to have either reduced fees or absolutely free rides to the voting polls. That is amazing. Kudos to Lyft and Uber. I think it's a tremendous effort. They've actually been instrumental in voting rights and registration. And I think it's especially for the population. Millennials, I think, are a majority of the customers for both car services. I think it sets a great precedent for something that really needs to be changed in the States. Because I'm feeling a little less disturbed than I was yesterday with the news that's happened every day this week. And actually, as I was commuting in this morning, apparently Robert De Niro and Joe Biden also received packages that are undisclosed type of packages. Could be explosives. We don't know. Could be the same sender. But the same malicious acts, unfathomable acts, are happening. And it's just not something I want to go into a great deal today, because you're saturated with this content and conversation on many different media levels. But I just want to say that I'm just so over the hatred that's spewed by the Trump nation that's happening. And some people are saying, like, wow, he did such a presidential thing yesterday, speaking with empathy and concern about what took place. Well, shouldn't he? I expect that and much more from who's ever occupying the Oval Office. I mean, this is a person of clout and panache and class and dignity and morals and ethics that should be compared to no other leader in the free world and anywhere in the world. I mean, this is the example that should be set from day one, from President George Washington to our present commander and fill in the blank. There I say that, yes, he, and then he went on after his 2 minutes of being polite and certainly trying to serve the office with some dignity, went on to condemn the media. The media, yes, of course, in like any industry, there are good persons in an industry and not so. But overall, you have people who are, their tenets in the business world is to communicate the truth, the facts. It's not about opinion. When it's opinion, it's called op-ed. Or there are certain platforms that actually convey the fact that it is opinion. But the fact that he continually just brings it back to the media, and it's just salacious and just ridiculous and absurd. And one more thing, he was on to commend himself about how good he was being yesterday, which is beyond humorous, because, I mean, this is what you should be doing. This is your role. This is what the resume of a presidential leader should follow. Selma Blair, do you remember her? She was the star of Cruel Intentions. She did something pretty interesting the other day on Facebook, actually on Instagram. She revealed that she has MS. And it's unfortunate because MS is obviously a very major condition that can be very debilitating. But what I want to bring to your attention is that it's another way for people with disabilities to communicate that they're doing what they love despite disruption in her life, despite having to be dressed by the costume designer, which she put in her Instagram. She was just getting very frustrated. There's a new show on Netflix called Another Life, which she is starring in. And she is in the thick of it. She said, I am totally in the thick of it. And the quote here is, I am in the thick of it and hope to give some other hope to others, end quote. So symptoms for years, but apparently she was misdiagnosed. And here she is. She's doing her thing. She's acting and she's loving it. So kudos to her. I remember she was actually very, very good in Cruel Intentions. It's a movie that kind of stands the test of time. And it's fascinating that someone with MS certainly can represent persons with disabilities in the world of acting, because that's a huge thing, because it obviously ribs me and other people certainly beyond belief in the entertainment industry when a role is cast with someone for someone without a disability playing a person with a disability, because there are so many people out there who are actors, who are fine actors, persons with disabilities that can certainly do the job without a doubt. So make sure you get your Lyft ride. Make sure you get your Uber for election day. Not too far around. Make sure you are you have your mail-in ballot, if that's the case. Make sure everything's up to snuff. You have your ID, because this is a huge and pivotal election, because it can sway Congress, certainly. And it's hard to believe that individuals that live in a facility where it's supposed to be filled with love and comfort and guidance and nothing but inspiration and positivity can be filled with abuse, both physical and mental. And this was brought to my attention recently by friends of the show, Corrine and Jack Willotti. They are fitness professionals, authors, disability advocates, avid community supporters, and more. And I'd like to welcome them to the show. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We all made it into New York City in one piece.
Yes, we did.
Yes,
hi,
we
Mark.
Did.
Lots of traffic here today.
Good to be here, Mark.
Yeah, thank you so much for bringing this to my attention and to other media outlets' attention. I just want to give a little background to this before we get into the news piece that we're going to show that aired here in New York City in the tri-state area. Okay. Very quickly, Jack or Corrine, tell us, this is a facility that's actually attached to your home. I know, so there's a shared wall. So obviously, a lot of this stuff you just can't help but see, because you can't ignore it, because the sound and visually, it's right underneath your nose. And so tell me exactly what happened first 4 years ago.
Well, this group home was stealthily put in, and they're actually physically attached to us. So we get to hear, feel, see pretty much everything. And, you know, we tried to work with the group home, Birch Family Services. We pleaded with them on things that we've seen and things that were, you know, we can't even read a book or sit and watch TV like a normal person does. So that's how bad it was. And they kept on saying that they're going to try to fix things and you have to give it some time and all this kind of stuff. And we did that. And we've been sending them emails and text messages throughout.
Dating back 4 years ago?
Absolutely. Probably sent out about 300 to 400 emails and text messages. So that's how the volume of information is. And they didn't do nothing about it. So
this started out as just a major inconvenience.
Absolutely. And like I said, we want to work with them. You know, they were in, so what were we going to do? So we tried.
Jack, let me interrupt you for a second. Is this zoned appropriate for a housing facility of this nature?
I'm not sure. You know what? I never heard of, a duplex where a group home is physically attached to it like this.
Yeah, it's
unique. Never. It's very unique. It's something that, like I said, we asked a lot of people, and everyone that we've spoke to said, I never heard of such a thing like that.
And you own your your home.
Absolutely.
And they do as well.
Yes,
Birch Family Services. 1970.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
So were there tenants in there prior to you moving in?
There was an owner Yes. There was an our house. Yes. There was one family that owned the house before we bought it.
No, with Birch Family Services.
Yes, there was. And they sold it. They didn't tell us because I was interested. We were actually interested in buying the house. And they said that it was for sale. Someone was interested in it. And they couldn't tell us who it was. And then when it was sold, that's when a neighbor told us that, you know, there's a group home that's going to be put next to your house.
And your jaw dropped.
Absolutely. And, you know, what? So I said, well, there's nothing really we can do about it right now. Hmm. Let's see how it works out. And we tried to be neighborly in the beginning. You know, we plowed their, shoveled their snow in the front. You know, anything that they needed in the beginning, you know, we would respond to with no problem. But things got worse. They were very negligent. Even when they were fixing the house up, you know, to prepare it for this group home, my wife can more explain more about that. We had this stench of polyurethane in our house. Mm-hmm. And it was going on for quite a bit where we actually had to call up
Keyspan.
And when Keyspan came over, they said someone must have been dumping some polyurethane in the sewer. So we responded.
The remnants of refinishing a floor.
Right. Mm-hmm. And their response was, well, you're going to smell a lot more of that. That was their response. So, you know, right there from then on, they were grabbing the tree and rattling it and putting and quite a few other things they were doing that weren't neighborly.
So not so home sweet home.
No, not home sweet home at all.
So let's take a look at this piece right here. This aired on WPIX-TV, and we'll return and have some more information in terms about how you first started seeing the tides turn.
Okay. Reporting from their living room window, the Willotes say they are fed up with their neighbors.
It comes right into our living room.
Right next door, sharing a wall with the Willotes in a group home for developmentally disabled adults. Since 2013, the Willotes say their home, once a sanctuary, has turned to hell. Thousands of photos and videos they've recorded themselves, they say, illustrate what occurs almost daily.
The thuds and the crazy crashes and the screaming that carries on for the longest time.
Abusive language from the staff. Near violent behavior against its residents, the Willotes say has disrupted not only their quality of life, but also their neighbors.
They've disturbed the peace on a number of occasions.
They are the most concerned, however, for the vulnerable residents who live in the group home.
At the very best, they treat the residents like second-class citizens. There's no compassion, no love, no sense of, you know, trying to make that person feel safe.
This is why we have to come out, mm-hmm. because someone's going to get killed.
Birch Family Services is the nonprofit who runs the group home. They purchased the attached home nearly 5 years back. The Willotes say they try to communicate via email and even in person about their complaints. Each time, however, they say they were assured something would be done. But they claim nothing ever was. So now they're suing and seeking $10 million in damages.
If anyone lives in our shoes, mm-hmm. I think they would say, wow, that's all you're asking for?
So in a statement to Pix 11, a spokesperson for Birch Family Services says in part, this is the first they are hearing of this. The actions, they say, are contrary to their core values. And if these claims are true, immediate action will be taken. Also adding they have informed their state regulators to review the matter.
Well, of course, that would be their rebuttal.
Yes, wouldn't it?
And there was a director. You had a meeting on the premise?
Yeah, we had meetings in our house. We were in constant contact with them. They actually came to our house to see what we were going through, just so we can kind of share how it was to be in our situation. And nothing ever was done. And it was always the same. It was either one word responses or, you know, checking on it when we write a detailed email about problems. The things that were really critical that actually, you know, they would want to take a look at because they were very serious and not good, you know, taking care of the residents, they didn't respond to at all.
So initially, they didn't respond at all in terms about your claims, just about the inconvenience, the mm-hmm. noise, the lack of management of the property, mm-hmm. et cetera. And then obviously, it became something more than that. Then your emails
right.
changed,
right.
and it was about information exposing their staff, management, et cetera, to inexcusable treatment to the to the residents there.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
And was there any reaction then?
No. Actually, they skipped over that part. The abuse, they answered all the questions. Actually, they almost tried to like school us in a way. And they left out the abuse part and about the staff workers, that we would not have them with anybody. And
when you're referring to left out, you mean in an email or an actual
in-person
conversation?
No, right. In an email.
Yeah.
In an email. Yep.
So what was the first act that you saw and or witnessed?
I tell you what. What happened was, in the time we were filming all this stuff, and all you have to do is go down to a window, to our window, and catch them every single day. So every time we had something, something else. So it just kept on compiling. And then at that same time, we were writing a book. We were in the
National Bike Challenge.
So we were doing all these things, and it was very hard to
focus on all this, finishing up
our renovations. Yeah.
So probably about a year ago, we start to really look at all the information, all the videotapes, and start slowly going through it. And then, and actually, 2018 is probably their worst year, because we were catching it left and right. Them doing ridiculous, negligent things,
running stop signs.
Yeah.
Not supervising the residents properly, interaction with the residents. You know, we know how it is to interact with residents, with people with disabilities, and especially developmental disabilities. And it lacked any kind of humanity. It just didn't, there was no, you know, you're walking somebody down the street. They shouldn't be either way behind you or way ahead of you. And you should be helping them maybe because they have seven packages with them. Why not carry one and talk to them on the way home? But no, it's you're behind them while they're up there with all their bags and you're moseying, you know, and you could care less. You're looking this way, you're looking that way, and there's no interaction, and just those little tiny things we started to see didn't add up to a good picture. No helping into the vehicle, taking off from a standing position with a resident just having gotten in, barely sitting down, no door shut, and taking off.
So that's the transportation company.
No, that's actually
a
Birch person.
Yeah, that's actually
a Birch person transporting in one of the Birch vehicles.
Again, Birch Family Services is the owner of this facility that actually has, in the last 40 years, have cared for over 20,000 persons with disabilities.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow,
right.
That's a large number.
And it scares me because what I've seen, you know, when we saw another a Birch house, they had another van with another staff member who, there was a young man standing. You could see him kind of crouching over. He wasn't running or anything. He was just sort of crouched over, looking very vulnerable from our perspective. And he went over to him. He grabbed him by the arm and yanked him really hard and then shoved him up into the van that he was going into. And then he got in the van. And they pulled up the van a few feet. Then they left the van running with the residents. There were two residents in that van. They left the van running while they went about their business, fraternizing with other staff members. And then they got in the van at some point, and then they ran the stop sign. I mean, it's global. It's everything and every interaction we've ever had with anybody in Birch, their directors or any person we've dealt with. We see how they just shove you aside. They don't care. They really don't care. And that's a really telling and scary thing to me, because if they treat people like that so boldly because of their connections or whatever it is, you know,
out in the open, so you have no idea what happens behind closed doors.
That's our problem.
Sure.
We have, you know.
So you're very active in the autistic community. So obviously this is something close and personal to you, because there could be persons with autism living right next door, adults.
Correct.
So you had a meeting with one of the directors. How did that go? And this was the one who was terminated?
No, he didn't come. We didn't meet him personally.
Right.
No, we met another. We met a COO. She came to the house.
I actually demonstrated in the house in front of all of them. I said, listen, the banging and the crashing and the fights that go on in your side, we can't relax or even watch TV. So I actually demonstrated and jumped up and down, and they were quite shocked. And they said, well, we're going to do something about this. And, of course, nothing ever came
about. How long ago was this?
This was about 4 years ago.
Oh. Yeah. This was early
more
on.
Than ample time.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Any correspondence since then? In terms of their actions or intended actions?
Yeah, just we kept in contact up until, I would say, probably what?
I would say about April.
Yeah, April. And then we stopped communicating with them because we saw that there was absolutely no reason. We were so tired of being jerked around, and they're so out of touch that there was an incident at the house where we had to call 911 because one of the residents said, you know, they hit me, and there was a whole melee going on that day. It was just awful. It was screaming and violence, and we ended up calling 911. They came. They saw the video with the
abuse.
Yeah, when she said they hit me, and they refused them. They said no, we don't need. She doesn't need to go. So they refused them, and then they had to come back again later because she was, you know, up to it again. There were more things going on, and so they finally took her away. A response to that.
When you said her, one of the staff,
the resident,
okay.
a resident.
Yes.
Yeah, she was a resident, and
because she was in harm's way,
she was having a really large violent meltdown.
I see.
It was really screaming,
so they couldn't
yelling.
Care for her there.
No,
okay,
and
which can happen in any environment,
right,
in those conditions.
But
right.
This happens often at this one, and with this resident specifically. But the fact is, the response we received was so generic. It was, "We're so sorry you witnessed," through email. "We're so sorry that you witnessed some type of an incident in your that occurred in your neighborhood." Mm-hmm. You know, again, they know we're right next door.
Sure.
Sometimes people with disabilities have these problems, and it's our, you know, it's up to us to have to handle them, and our staff is well trained and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, we've been telling you about this for 4 years. Why are you telling me that
they should be experts in
this? Yeah, exactly. So that's just how out of touch they are, and how they just ignore everything, and they've been ignoring everything from the beginning.
And there was an incident where you witnessed two staff members inside what you thought was an air-conditioned car, and residents were outside the car.
Yeah, actually,
on a very hot day.
Yeah, actually, happened to go to the truck, go to the window, and I seen two staff people inside the truck doing paperwork while two residents were outside the truck, and one was starting to cry and complain, but not one of them looked up. None of them. They were doing what they were doing, and that's it. And I said, "I can't believe what's going on here." And then she continued to cry and complain.
Escalated it. And it escalated.
Yeah, it escalated. And one of them, you know, is also someone that runs.
She's an eloper.
She's a eloper.
Yeah.
So I went outside to tape them, and they seen me. And as soon as they seen the camera on them, they quickly got out the car. One of them grabbed one of the residents, and the other one said, "Why are you taping me? Why are you taping me?" Instead of focusing on the resident.
Sure. So, absolutely. So in this day and age, is it common to have cameras, you know, in facilities of this nature?
You know, I don't know about the inside. I know they have one on the outside. I think they should have cameras on the inside,
yes,
because when you're trusting people who really can't speak for themselves with strangers, it's smart to have people monitoring.
Absolutely.
No.
In a healthcare system, we've all been in hospitals or visited people, loved ones, where you really have to be on top of your game just to be sure you're getting the right medication, the doctor's following up, the paper's being pushed through. And this is in, you know, not dealing with anyone with a disability. So now if you deal with elder care, same thing applies. And then the disability world.
Right.
Same thing. More attention and more focus has to be paid, unfortunately, to the staff and to the facilities that actually own and operate them, because you have to be on top. And there's some great and some fine, outstanding institutions out there. I don't like to use that word, institution, facilities out there that do outstanding work. Certainly you can get a rotten apple. But when you have a track record, you know, 4 or 5 years, and you're actually conveying the email professionally and documenting, were they interested in seeing any of the footage that you shot?
They never asked us anything. When we mentioned specifically, we have witnessed abuse of the residents by the staff. And we said, this goes out in the open, and they know we're taping them. This goes out in the open where, you know, everyone, you know, what happens when no one can see? And they didn't even respond. And we sent them a video of another resident who the staff was walking across in the middle of the street, way ahead of the resident. She got into the vehicle before he did. She got in, and he got in. There was an automatic door. As the automatic door was still open, it was just slightly shut. She was already backing up, and then she speeds off and just blows the stop sign. And we sent that video, and there was no response. So, and they're on three levels. There are problems there. So,
and the
it's
worker,
amazing.
And the worker was still working there at least a month and a half after that.
Right.
We seen her there.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
So, I guess the obvious question that many people have probably asked you is, why not just move?
Because that's our home.
Yes. No, I understand. Exactly.
And you've
been there for how many years?
Jack has
Almost
grown up there.
48 years.
And I've been there
that's
for 17.
That's not possible. For a 28-year-old?
And I've been there for 17.
Wow. Okay. So there's a lot of history there.
Right.
Your roots are there
sanctuary.
In the neighborhood.
Everything, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Your business, I believe, is
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
based from there. And it's not right. And our mother, you know, my husband's mother-in-law is there. She's retired. And,
she's
you know, should
outside.
People have to, like, be uprooted because some horrendous situation happened to them? You know, you don't choose. Sometimes causes choose you. And sometimes I feel like, you know, mm-hmm. because of our insight with this kind of situation and our compassion and love for people who have any kind of disability and trying to make the world a better place the way we try to do, sometimes maybe this happened for a reason. If it was any other person, they might not have known what to look for. They might not have known to see these things. They would have obviously had all the horrible interruptions and mm-hmm. the craziness that we've experienced.
And probably would have summed it up to some inappropriate colloquialism
Maybe.
In terms about who and what type
right.
of people were living there.
Exactly.
So was it a difficult issue to come to the conclusion that you wanted to litigate?
Yeah, because who wants to be put – first of all, we have better things to do with our time, okay?
Yeah, I'm sure.
We certainly right. do. And secondly, who wants to put yourself into a firestorm?
Mm.
I mean, you know, on all levels, there's so many different things that could be said. So nobody wants to put themselves into this position. But we did, you know, we came to a position that we decided we don't care.
Right.
Whatever happens, happens. This has to come out, and that's the way it goes.
And this is our moral and civic duty
right.
to bring
Absolutely.
This out.
Feel that.
Sure.
It's very important
Strongly.
To get this out there. And for other people to realize and say, you know what, this can happen to you, and
right.
this is what you need to do. So we want to just show people that, you know, you're not safe either, because one of these group homes can come to your house, and then you can witness abuse, recklessness, negligence. Now what are you going to do? You're not going to say nothing and put those people in harm's way?
Mm.
You got to come out and talk. And of course, with the I should say the way things are today,
mm-hmm.
you have to be very careful.
Mm. It's right. very volatile.
Right.
Exactly.
And
now,
just the other
please.
Day, I'm sorry, but the other day, one of these staffers crashed into our neighbor's wall, their brick wall, and actually broke their brick wall because of his
In
erratic driving.
Yes.
Yeah, and this is the erratic people they have driving
residents.
We have him doing. We have videotape of him almost every day doing something crazy. I mean, seriously, we've been telling them.
So I imagine
and they
you
don't care.
Know if he's permitted to drive.
Oh, he's. I've
he's
seen him
been driving
yeah.
right after that. Though,
yeah.
So we don't know if he has. This person has a license, though.
Supposedly, they need one to have a job there. That's one of the requirements.
Oh,
I think.
It's not a resident. It's
no,
a
it's
worker.
A staff.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, staff
gotcha.
Member who transports residents.
Mm.
And again, it's right now. I feel it's a miracle that nobody has died yet because of the things we see, the level of neglect and recklessness, aside from the emotional abuse and some of the physical abuse that we've seen. I am amazed that due to the recklessness of these people, that nobody is dead yet.
And
it's
how
a
many
matter
residents,
of time.
Do you know are housed here?
Six.
Yeah.
And how many staff? What's the ratio?
Oh. Sometimes I see. Well, they change shifts,
mm, sure.
but some stay over,
mm-hmm.
yeah, because they
of course 24/7.
24/7. But when you have staff that calls residents retards,
mm-hmm.
retarded, savages,
mm-hmm.
threatens to call 911 up,
mm-hmm.
Get your food out of the garbage. That's your problem. Those kind of things. They have residents in the vehicles.
Mm. Inhumane.
Not only driving. Not only speeding down the block, but blowing the stop signs. What kind of caretaking is that? What
right.
kind of caretakers are that?
Is this currently being investigated by any of the New York State agencies?
It's
yes.
being investigated right now by the Justice Center, which is a task force that was made by Governor Cuomo in 2013. So they're an impartial. They just look at the facts. They look at the people. They look at the situations. And we've, you know, hopefully we're cooperating with them, giving them all the evidence we have. We're in the process
Great.
Of, we have so much that
and
it's kind of hard to give
them
all.
They will do a good job with
yeah.
all the information we're giving them.
Yes, they will.
So are they permitted by the Birch Family Services Organization to go in there and do an inventory, do a audit?
Well, I know that they have gone in and interviewed once already. So
into their home?
Into
yes.
their, yeah,
okay.
and interviewed people. So, yes, they have to have access,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure. I don't know.
By law, they're
Yeah,
legal.
I imagine so. I don't know all the legal ramifications
sure.
there, but I'm sure that they have that. And I know it's going to be an ongoing thing because there's just so much that it's going to take a few months.
Sure. Now, this is aside from your lawsuit.
Yes, yes. That's
and
separate
where
part.
Are you? And I'm sure, and you probably can't speak about certain things,
right.
But how far along are you in your lawsuit? And does this person have a very good track record in defending people?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he's great. He's
great.
A good lawyer. The lawsuit is something that obviously we can't talk about, but it's based on, you know, this is kind of connected because of the fact that we're forced to have to endure this as well and to constantly monitor and police our home because of it. It's unsafe. They've also had, you know, a person come to the house and threaten to blow the house up. I mean, it was a whole...
To your house?
Well, they went next door to Birch, and he was yelling, come outside. He was yelling all kinds of expletives and really loud and banging something. And then finally he said, I don't give a you-know-what about anything. I'm going to blow this whole you-know-what mm-hmm. up. And then the police were there in 9 minutes. I have no idea what they called. I don't know what took place exactly, but it was scary. And all I could
Enough
think of
for
was
them
somebody.
To become alarmed.
Right. And somebody right. can come back with a gun later on. I mean, you know, things happen and they're going to a group home doing
that's
this.
That's a terrorist act to me.
Right.
When you go to a group home with vulnerable people
sure.
in the house.
How,
you know.
That's the kind of staff that they have that has people that come do these things.
In your observations, have you witnessed the average age? Is it 18 to 50?
Yeah,
in terms of the residents?
The residents are, I think, all around in their early 20s, I
yes.
think. That's my assessment. I don't know for sure, but that's what I would guess. The residents are about, you know, in young
and
20s.
Severely developmentally?
A couple of them are pretty, you know, they look, from what I see, now I'm
sure.
not a doctor, but I know that, you know, when you have long-lasting meltdowns that last for hours and you're violent and furniture is broken and windows are being pushed out and you're screaming bloody murder for people to think that something's happening in that house, that's not good. And either she's like that or she's a zombie. I see they drug her so much that she's like a zombie sometimes now.
Yeah.
So,
which we've certainly heard and read
thing.
About. Yes.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
There is one resident that she's out of the scope of living in this
in
kind
a group
of
home.
House.
Yeah.
Okay, she needs, it's even if they didn't abuse her mm-hmm. or mentally abuse her, because she's the one that they called retarded, savage and all that stuff. But even if they didn't do that, she doesn't belong in this facility. It's not fair for her. It's not fair for the other residents.
Mm-mm.
And she's had a lot of major meltdowns. There has been, 3 weeks ago, a steak knife on the terrace
mm-hmm.
where she must have pushed
the
whole
screen.
Terrace screen out.
Yeah.
What is steak knives doing with
vulnerable
in a facility like
yeah.
that? But they'll cover that up.
Right. But we documented it.
Yes.
We did.
So how do the Willodes rest?
We don't right now.
Do you have a rest?
We're running on adrenaline
you
right
can't
now.
For 4 years.
You know what? It's tough, but we don't. You know where we are, Mark. We're very.
Yes.
When we commit to something, we're committed, and just like the National Bike Challenge, we committed to that. No matter what was happening, we are committed. We have a serious mission here. Because these people are being abused. And I am not going to have an organization like that get away with it. I can't have that. So it's going to come out, and we're just going to keep the pressure on them until they are shut down or changes are made.
Set a
Serious
goal,
ones.
Formulate a plan, mm-hmm. and then pursue it relentlessly. And that's mm-hmm. how our thinking is with everything we do. So, you know, they, first of all, to put a facility attached like this without even seeing who lives there, mm-hmm. you know, if do these people live... Do they work there? Is it retired people that live there?
Well, it doesn't make sense for them to buy a facility that's actually a shared wall.
Right.
No.
You know,
well,
in New York City,
I
understand, but I mean, usually they have their own structure
right.
when it's a residence
right.
of this caliber.
Which makes sense
mm-hmm.
because of the kinds of outbursts and things that can happen. So,
essentially, it's a medical facility.
Right. It is.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
And through emails and all that stuff, originally they said that they were going to soundproof the walls. And then, of course, he came out later, the director said, well, whatever our
budget allows us.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they had to try to do it two more times, in which I told the director, you can soundproof the walls all you want. It's when the floor underneath my feet starts vibrating, you can't do nothing about it. It's
and precious
a frame,
item falls
right.
off shelves.
It's a wood
shelves.
Frame structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not made for that kind of, you know, hardcore movement. It really isn't.
Yeah.
So.
And I would say that, you know, whoever is a donor to this organization, whatever, you know, Fortune 500 companies are backing them up and whatever political interests are backing them up, I think they could spend their time on a facility or an organization that does actually good things with their money. Because if they saw what was happening here, obviously the people who are benefiting are the higher-ups who apparently have nice homes and are wealthy and they don't have to worry about anything.
Corinne, you hit the nail right on the head there. You have to go hit them where the pocketbook is. If
absolutely.
You know who is behind Birch Family Services, you have to go crazy and viral with all of these videos.
Right. Oh, we're going to do that.
Until your lawyer's phone won't stop ringing.
Yes.
Because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take the piece that was on WPIX, Pix 11. It's going to take the New York Daily News piece that was there. And also the piece that aired, was printed in the Queens Chronicle. So you're getting momentum. You're getting a word out there. Yes, we want peace and tranquility so you can have your sanity back.
Of course.
Even more importantly, then your sanity is the health and well-being of the residents of this 4, 6, 8 person residence.
People who cannot speak for themselves.
Absolutely.
And that is so unfair. It's just,
we got a good place for the for all those donors to donate is for Seaside for Therapeutic Riding, where they actually help autistic and developmentally disabled people and bring a smile to their face.
They can come and see that, and they would be surprised.
Yes, we do.
So
if they want to build a structure so we can do it 24, you know, every day, that would be great. But but it's a place where people do good, and we're all there out of the goodness of our heart. Nobody makes any money there. We're all just devoted to these people and these families that are absolutely, the families are wonderful. We are blessed to know them and grateful for the love and appreciation that they have for what we do. And it's a wonderful, we couldn't go about our day really without doing that first. It's a very important thing for us to do on Sunday mornings.
Corinne and Jack Willoughby, as parents of an adult with a disability, a child with a disability, I mean, this must really hit home.
It does, actually.
Yes.
It's, you know, I've had to be an advocate for my son who's had, he's been in health, you know, programs and in group home himself at one point. And, you know, it's I've watched everything. I mean, I was very much hands-on, and many of the good people said, wow, you're a good mom. That's great that you're doing this. I didn't know why they said that, because I just felt like
that's what you do.
So, but
regardless,
now I look back,
and
I see, you know, how some people don't understand that they need to do that. But, you know, it was a huge eye-opening situation for me, and I was on top of them every single step of the way. I was in the Office of Mental Health, president's office every week. Like, I was there. Every time I saw something, I was there, and I made sure that my son was treated right and other people around him were treated right. And so therefore that type of experience gave me the empathy and the understanding of what could happen next door, and we've been taking that ever since. So
absolutely.
Have you been knocking on Mayor de Blasio's door and or the mayor's office for persons with disabilities?
You know what, we're going to be doing that next, because
that's the next thing.
Because this needs to just get as much attention as possible.
It does.
Because unfortunately, it doesn't seem like you give them more than the opportunity to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
To correct it for themselves, for the residents. And it's obviously even for a business model.
Right.
If they do it for the only sole purpose just to make money, then, you know, that's okay. As long as they are serving the residents with the dignity and care and love that they are required to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, in that piece, the Pix 11 piece, they showed some of the transport vans, you know, the company they contract were speeding and going backwards. And they have yet to have done anything about that. That organization needs to be shut down. Just the other day, I saw somebody staring at the cell phone going down the street. And I have that on video, and I could take still shots from that. We see them blowing the stop sign still. They are so reckless. I am amazed nobody's gotten killed.
I mean, that's an easy fix.
Oh, my goodness.
A very easy fix.
For them to just say, cancel their contract.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And that's what's going to happen, because we're going to make sure that happens.
Yeah.
Have you actually sent this to the actual transportation company?
No, because we actually don't know the name of it, but we're
because
the investigator. He's starting another case on them alone, because
that needs
to be its own case, because it's bad. It's not, obviously, Birch Family Services is not the only person that they drive, you know, the organization they drive for. Mm-hmm. So some other organizations are, you know, in jeopardy as well.
And Birch is located in the five boroughs?
Yeah, I think they're headquartered in Manhattan,
yes.
And they're around the five boroughs, yeah.
And where are they in Manhattan, do you know?
I'm not really sure. I know they have a headquarters somewhere. I don't know the exact address, but somewhere around here.
Well, I'm thinking about a major, what's the term nowadays, where you just show up, mob scene?
That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Flash mob type thing?
Flash mob, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're game.
This, Yeah, I mean, this needs to be front and center.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree with you. We need this to gain momentum. We need public outrage, because if anybody saw some of the videos we have, it's disheartening. You got a girl who's developmentally disabled in a bus. She didn't like the lunch, and the staff member was yelling, you know, well, you stuck your finger up at Daniel, the manager, the other day. You should have thought about that yesterday.
So she's shaming her
publicly. Then she tells her that she needs to get her lunch out of the garbage. And the garbage, they just got a sanitation citation because they had flies and chicken bones and maggots and all kinds of stuff on the side of their house. They keep the house in squalor. So, you know, it's a horrifying thought. This poor girl, all she wanted was $5. And they're yelling at her that, you know, she can't have it.
$5.
Give it to her. I mean, for heaven's sake. You know, what's so hard about that? Make the person happy. She's, you know, it's just, there's no happiness there.
Right.
It's an unhappy house.
And Mark, you would notice better than anyone. I mean, when you work with disabled or, you know, anyone that is vulnerable, the first thing is, or even, you know, anyone, is safety.
Mm-hmm.
Safety.
Sure.
Love. And with that comes trust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Absolutely.
So very important.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no trust. Mm-hmm. There is no safety. When, like I said, when you blow stop signs, when you leave car doors open and drive the residents moving, I mean, someone is going to get killed.
I mean, there's many, many various critical points you brought up, but I think the number one is the one we can't see, is what's happening behind closed doors.
Right.
You can
yes.
hear it, you can feel the vibrations, but we don't know what's happening.
Right.
I wish the investigations are very thorough and mm-hmm. vast, and they have to be monitored. They have to be audited for quite some time, and not only this facility, because obviously this must be systemic to their model.
I believe so. I do believe so. And again, to that end, you have residents who are supposed to be sleeping at night, and they're partying very loud in that house.
In the morning.
They keep us awake. So you're there to watch people. Whatever happened to taking care of them instead of, you know, that's your reason to party. You're all together so you can party in this house, and those people are in bed. So
we also have recordings of actual staff fighting with one another.
Internally,
while a resident's in the back, and you can actually
hear the
hear
voice.
Them.
Yeah. Mm. And it's just terrible.
And it's also something very, very significant for the parents of residents throughout the five boroughs.
Absolutely.
And other locations mm-hmm. of the Birch Family Services facilities to know what's happening.
Yes, it
because
is.
Hopefully this is a one-off scenario. But, you know, that remains to be seen.
I don't see that. Like Corinne mentioned before, there was another Birch van from another facility
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right by our house. The same kind of
treatment.
Language, their body language,
yeah.
same kind of treatment,
mm-hmm.
same thing. They walk around like thugs.
Mm-hmm.
That's
they
how
do.
I put it.
It is true.
Yeah.
That is
well, the
behavior.
Direct service providers, they're called DSPs, are historically known to get very, very little pay.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not justify
no.
on any scale.
Mm-mm.
Inappropriate treatment. Because if you can't do the job that you're hired to do and treat people with compassion and respect, then
right.
you're in the wrong industry.
Actually, I can't think of an industry that where these people should be, because I wouldn't want them handling my food. I wouldn't want them handling my deliveries. I wouldn't want them handling anything. So that's how bad they are.
Yeah.
They're
really unqualified, because when, you know, you hire an aide, I mean, all basically they need is a New York State driver's license and a GED and maybe a CPR certification.
Exactly, yep.
That's a bonus, yeah.
I mean,
well, I think it falls on the shoulders of the management,
mm-hmm.
the directors
mm-hmm.
of Birch Family Services, and also the overall theme that this has been part of the industry for quite some time that I'm sure you've heard about,
mm-hmm.
how DSPs are paid substantially
mm-hmm.
less.
Exactly.
They deserve much
yeah.
more money for doing an incredible job that most of them do for loved ones that are that for families who can't care for them,
mm-hmm.
whether it's just physically they can't do it, or financially, and or a combination of both.
Somebody that we spoke to at Seaside, one of the other people we work with, she's been there for many, many years. She said the problem with this is that these people are throwaways. And they get money to house them. And that's
absolutely.
The problem.
Sure.
We've only seen one parent come to this house. And we watch. So we've seen one parent out of six. I don't know if they come ever that we haven't seen it. But honestly, I know the parents of one of the people, a father and mother that come there. They're the only two I've ever seen. And the other ones, I don't know.
Have you had a chance to have a conversation with them?
No, it makes it awkward. It's a little hard to really involve yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been very careful to stay away, monitor, but not get in the face of any of the residents, because we don't want to cause them any kind of more pain. And we try to stay away from that and just to watch it without,
sure.
you know, being invasive.
Interfering, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
it's mandatory that if you work with any special population, whether mm-hmm. it's autistic or developmentally disabled or the elderly, anyone like that, you should go to a good organization. You should volunteer. You should be mandatory at least 200 hours. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, you can walk away from it.
Right.
But when you're getting paid and now you're paying your bills, well, I'm not going to walk away from it. So when I'm annoyed and mad, then I'm going to take it out on the residence.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. And so, that's what they do.
Yeah, they
it's
need to
horrible.
They need to make more stronger, stringent laws on that.
So are you in for the long haul? Sounds like you are.
Oh, we are. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. We're not going to let this happen. Yeah. We're not going to let them go away. As long as they're there, we're watching. That's it. We're watching, we're monitoring, and we're reporting. We're not going to let this go. Those people don't have anybody, but they have us.
They're thinking possibly the best case scenario in the perspective of Birch Family Services is that they'll just relocate?
I don't know. They're so arrogant. Who knows? But as long as they're there,
I think if they're smart, they will.
They should. Hmm. But we're on them. So and
but
we'll still.
If they relocate, that may not fix certainly the critical
that's
vital, more
a very
important issue.
Extremely important issue. No. That's why we are going to be on them.
That's why I think all these different ideas. I think you have to go viral with this. Because I think that they're just going to pack up their bags, shut the door, and move on.
Yes.
And do it somewhere else.
Yes, and do it somewhere else.
Right.
But
so
again, those big companies that are backing them, please take a good look because you're giving your money to the wrong place.
Well, that's apparent that we have to find out who these companies are because once these companies' names get out there, then they're not going to be connected or want to be connected and or any bad press about this. So
right.
I think that's vital.
Yeah.
I'm sure your lawyer can dig that up.
Yeah, we're going to be finding that out. And aside from their giant galas that they have every year for, 25 to...
They have, for a group of 10, $50,000 to attend a gala.
Yeah,
so,
they're fundraising galas.
Well, I think you need to crash that party.
I think we may have to.
Guys,
I think
you have
right.
to come here for ideas. I'm happy to
thank
dispense
you, Mark.
Them. Yeah.
I think we should, we should get on that one.
And you need to tip the guy who's running the AV, and you load up the montage of a video that unfortunately we couldn't play today because Facebook's down right now, of all the disruptive and or inhumane services.
Absolutely.
Treatment.
Let them see for themselves how wonderful what they're doing is.
I love it.
Yeah, I do
well,
too.
I know Birch Family Services will be listening to this, and all those videos will be out there for the public to see.
Yeah,
and,
eventually they will.
Let the court of public opinion weigh on it, and let's see what they think about it.
I just don't understand how people can sleep.
I can't either. I can't.
Knowing that you're not doing everything in your power for the best possible life for someone else.
Absolutely. When you have that person's life in your hands at that moment, for 5 minutes or however long it is.
Someone's trusting you.
It's your opportunity to be the ray of light to them and give them a sense of happiness and peace and acceptance and confidence. There's no reason to be treated. They're not even treated like a dog.
Mark,
it's horrible.
Right. When you hear these residents break down and start crying. It's heartbreaking.
Oh, I can't imagine.
And they say they don't want to be here. They don't want to be here. I want to go. Okay, that's very disturbing and sad.
Gives more credibility to you being the mouthpieces for all the people who cannot speak.
And I have to say, though, for the treating like a dog thing, we treat our dog very well, by the way.
Corinne and Jack will
lay chops.
Thank you very, very much. How's the book going?
It's going very well. We've had to take a little time out because of the situation we're going through, but it's doing great.
Tell
me
the name of the title again.
The Dog Who Saved Pleasantville, A Tale of Lifestyle Choices for Kids and Their Parents.
It's gotten great reviews.
Yes, it has.
My daughter and son love it.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
I love
appreciate
it.
Is there anything in store next?
We got some things on the works.
Yeah.
Probably another book too.
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic.
But first, we
along
got
along the lines of community enrichment.
Yes, probably something
love.
To do with some things that we've experienced.
Oh, actually, yes. We want to make an announcement that we have a Saddle to Saddle autism ride coming up in November.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So raising money for Seaside for therapeutic riding.
How can people find more about it?
We'll put it on Instagram.
Yeah, okay. Instagram and Facebook and that. Absolutely.
And how can people find you?
Team Willody on Instagram.
That's WLODY.
Yes.
Team WLODY. Yeah. Corinne and Jack, thank you so much for.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
I'm sorry you're inconvenienced for a long time, but some real good is going to come out of this.
Thank you for having us.
My name is Mark Farrell. Thank you so much for listening this and every Thursday. This is Insight on Progressive Radio Network. Gary Knowles next. If you want me to speak at your school, college, or corporation, it's markfarrellmotivation.com. Markfarrellmotivation.com. Have a great day.